Picture a form. Doesn't matter what kind. A job application, a medical intake, a software setup screen. Somewhere on it, there's a field for name. And the field is sized for, say, 20 characters. Most of the time, nobody who built that form thought about that number at all. It just felt like enough, reasonable, normal. And for a large number of people, it is enough. But for someone whose full legal name doesn't fit in 20 characters, and there are a lot of naming conventions around the world where that's simply not unusual. That form isn't neutral. It's a small, mundane wall. And the person who hits that wall almost never gets told why it's there, because the answer is usually, nobody decided this on purpose. It was just the default. And defaults feel like they come from nowhere. I'm Andre Barbouras, and this is The Unlearning Project, a podcast from barbouras.com, where every couple of weeks, we take one assumption that usually goes unexamined, and we crack it open. Today's assumption is about defaults themselves, the idea that a default setting, a standard format, a normal way of doing something, is neutral. That it's just the baseline, the thing before any decision was made. But defaults are never actually before a decision. They are a decision. Someone, at some point, chose this as the starting point. And that choice quietly encodes who that starting point was built around. Let's start with where the word default itself comes from, because it's more revealing than people usually notice. A default is what happens if no one does anything else. It's the path of least resistance. And here's the thing about paths of least resistance. They're not equally easy for everyone. A default that requires no extra effort for one group might require constant extra effort, extra clicks, extra explanation, extra workarounds, for another group, simply to get to a starting point that, for the first group, was just there. This is sometimes described, in design and policy contexts, as the difference between neutral and unmarked. An unmarked category is one that doesn't need to explain itself. It's just assumed to be the baseline, the thing that doesn't require a label, because it's treated as the default state of being. Marked categories are everything that deviates from that baseline, and deviation, by definition, requires acknowledgement, explanation, sometimes justification. Here's a simple example that makes this concrete. For a long time, in a lot of medical research, patients meant, by default, male patients. Adult male bodies were treated as the standard against which dosages, symptoms, and treatment protocols were calibrated. And anything that didn't fit that standard, female bodies in particular, was treated as a variation that needed separate study, if it got studied at all. Nobody necessarily sat down and said, "We are choosing male bodies as the default human." But that's functionally what happened, through years of accumulated choices about what counted as standard and what counted as a special case requiring extra consideration. And once something becomes the default, something interesting happens to how it gets perceived. It stops looking like a choice at all. It starts looking like simply how things are, the baseline. And everything that differs from it doesn't get framed as an equally valid alternative that happens to be less common. It gets framed as a deviation from the norm, which carries a very different weight. Deviations need to be accounted for. Defaults don't. This is where I want to bring in the idea of who actually gets to set a default in the first place, because this is rarely a deliberate, contested process. Defaults usually get set by whoever is doing the building at the moment of building, often without any awareness that a default is even being established. The people designing a system, writing a policy, drafting a form, are working from their own frame of reference, not maliciously, but because that's the frame of reference they have. Their own needs, their own context, their own assumptions about what's normal become the invisible template the system is built around. And because those people, across most industries and institutions, historically, have tended to come from a fairly narrow range of backgrounds, the defaults that get encoded tend to reflect that narrow range. not because anyone chose to exclude other perspectives, but because other perspectives were never in the room at the moment the default was being set. This is the part that I think is genuinely important to sit with. Exclusion through defaults doesn't require anyone to be excluded on purpose. It just requires the people setting the default to not need to think about a particular case, because their own experience didn't include it. The 20-character name field wasn't built by someone who decided certain names don't matter. It was built by someone whose own name and the names of everyone they were picturing while building it fit comfortably within 20 characters. The exclusion is a side effect of whose experience was visible during the decision, not a statement about whose experience matters. Let's bring this into language for a moment, because this is one of the places where neutral defaults are doing some of their quietest work. Think about how often a description includes someone's identity only when that identity differs from an assumed default. A doctor versus a female doctor. A marriage versus a same-sex marriage. In each case, the unmarked term isn't actually more general. It's standing in for a specific assumption, while presenting itself as the broad, neutral category, and pushing everything else into the marked case that needs its own label. The unmarked term doesn't feel like it's making a claim about anything, but it is. It's making a claim about what gets to be the assumed picture in someone's head when no other information is given. Now, here's where this gets practically important. Beyond just being an interesting observation about language and design, defaults shape behavior. At scale, often more than explicit rules do, precisely because they don't feel like they're shaping anything. If a system's default setting requires active effort to change, most people, most of the time, will not change it. Not because they prefer the default, necessarily, but because changing it requires noticing it, understanding it, and then taking action. And most people are operating with limited attention and limited time. This is well documented in behavioral economics. Default options in things like retirement savings plans, organ donation registries, privacy settings, have enormous effects on outcomes, far beyond what you'd expect if people were making fully deliberate choices in each case. The default isn't just a starting point. For a huge number of people, it is the outcome, which means whoever sets the default isn't just making a small administrative decision. They're making a decision that will, in practice, become the actual choice for a large portion of everyone who interacts with that system, most of whom will never know a different option was even on the table, let alone that the option presented to them first was anyone's decision at all. So what does this mean for how we think about neutral systems, forms, policies, standards, the default settings of the tools we use every day? I think it means treating neutral as a claim that needs to be checked, rather than a starting assumption. Not because every default is sinister, most aren't in any deliberate sense, but because every default was set by someone, working from some frame of reference, and that frame of reference is rarely visible once the default is in place. The default just looks like the way things are. The decision that produced it has disappeared into the woodwork. There's also something worth noticing about how this connects to power more broadly. Not power in the dramatic, obvious sense, but in a quieter sense. The power to not have to think about certain things. If a system's default works for you, you simply never encounter the friction it creates for someone else. You're not making a choice to ignore that friction. You're not even aware it exists, because the system was, from your perspective, just working. That invisibility is itself a kind of privilege, in the most literal sense of the word, a private experience of a system, one that isn't shared by everyone using the same system. I think the useful move here isn't guilt, and it isn't assuming malicious intent in every default you encounter. That would be both inaccurate and exhausting. The useful move is closer to curiosity. When you encounter a default, a setting, a form field, a standard way something is described or structured, there's a small, almost reflexive question worth asking. Who was probably in the room when this was decided, and whose situation would this have felt completely normal to? Sometimes the answer is genuinely, everyone. This really is broadly neutral. But often, if you actually ask the question, you'll find the default has a shape, and that shape fits some people more comfortably than others, even though it presents itself as fitting everyone equally. Here's the question I want to leave you with. Think of something in your own life, a tool you use, a process at work, a form you filled out, that has always just felt normal, something you've never had to think about or work around. And then ask, is it possible that its normalcy, for you, is itself information? Information about who it was built for, and, by implication, who it wasn't. That's it for this episode of The Unlearning Project. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one. Until then, take a second look at the things that have never asked anything of you.